So we're asleep. It's 4 a.m. And then I hear flashbang grenades going off. I didn't know that's what it was. I hear explosions, and they're pretty loud. I mean, they're well-named. And then I hear something through a loudspeaker, you know, and I thought, oh, no, something's going on.
That's Ray Mendoza, a resident of Santa Cruz, California, describing the Department of Homeland Security raid of a home on Windsor Street 1 year ago, on February 15th, 2019. The raid began at about 4:30 in the morning. Ray and his family awoke to the sound of flashbang grenades. Here again is Ray Mendoza.
So I hop out of bed and I lock the doors because I didn't know, you know, what was going on or if there police are chasing somebody or what was happening. I thought a shootout or bombs or something. So as more of them go off and as I'm blinking the sleep out of my eyes, I start to recognize what they're saying, and they're calling out an address on Windsor, which is this street right here, and saying, come out with your hands up. And they're saying it in English and Spanish over a loudspeaker. And so then I have my wits about me a little more, and I look out the window and I'm watching what's going on, and there's just, you can see police lights. And police lights, and I see people walking around, but they're not in uniform. And so then, and they don't seem to be, you know, on alert. Like it doesn't look like an ongoing shooting kind of thing. They're kind of just wandering right here in front of our house. And I didn't see uniforms. And then I saw one guy walk with it looked like fatigues. I can't be sure, you know, it was pretty early. It looked like he had fatigues on, and I thought, oh my gosh, like there's like National Guard or something here. This isn't even like just police work. And who are these guys without uniforms? So finally my wife gets up, and so then we kind of look out there, and I also start wondering, you know, Santa Cruz Police Department, I know that if they're going to do something big, they're out, their presence is everywhere. And I've seen them, you know, respond to calls, and they are Johnny on the spot, and they are there in uniforms and car, you know, marked cars, everything. And we couldn't see any markings on anything. So we should kind of walk out there and say, what's happening? And we ordered back into our house, and we said, well, who are you? And they said, go back in your house. This is a, you know, we're serving a federal search warrant. And so then we asked them, who are you? And they said, it's none of your business. And I said, where's the Santa Cruz PD? And they said, they're not here. And I said, wait a minute, where's my PD? Where's the local police department? Why are they not here? You know, go back in your house. So at that point, we kind of go back in the house and have a little conversation. Say, you know, these are federal officers. They identified themselves as such, but we don't know who they are. They're not marked. They're not, and Santa Cruz PD isn't working with them. Which I know that there had been an incident where Santa Cruz PD, after which Santa Cruz Police Department said, we're not going to work with immigration anymore, ICE, and because they were misled on a previous enforcement action. Then we see at some point the majority of them kind of get in their cars and drive away in unmarked cars. And then we start to see a few of them have some markings on their uniforms that say police, HSI. And so we didn't, you know, we felt like this was, we didn't know. My brother's a policeman, and that my default position still is, you know, when I see law enforcement, is they know something that I don't know, and they got to take care of it. This is something going on. They can't take the time to explain everything to me, to my satisfaction, and that's okay. Like, maybe they're legally not allowed to share stuff with me. Maybe they are focusing on public safety. Maybe there's a really bad guy somewhere that they're trying to, you know, concentrate on it for the protection of everyone. That's like my default position. And honestly, I keep in mind that these folks put on a bulletproof vest to go to work every day, which is a heavy duty thing to do. And I that's definitely my default position. But this one just didn't seem like, you know, I don't know why they weren't wearing their uniform. Like, tell me who you are and what you know. And anyway, so we watched, and a bunch of them drove off in unmarked cars. And then we saw the MRAP driving off. We hadn't seen the MRAP yet, and it had Homeland Security written on the side of it. And that was the only, that was at first the only vehicle that we had seen. So we as they left, they closed the perimeter that they were kind of keeping people away from, closed down as they had less people. So we got closer and closer as we could. And we didn't disobey their orders at all. You know, they asked us to stand back, and we stood back, but we did watch, and we recorded a little bit on our phones. But it was, you know, early in the morning, the sun wasn't up, so it was black, as you might expect. They searched. We saw that they were searching the place. We saw that about, I want to just guesstimate, because it was really tough, I would say about five. They brought a bunch of people that had been in the parking lot that looked like they were the residents of the unit back into the unit, and they were wearing, like, they had like a blanket on them or something, you know. And then we saw them marching back into the unit, and then we went across the street so we could watch, stand directly in front of the unit and kind of watch what was going on. So then we could see agents coming in and out of the apartment, and in the apartment, we could see in the apartment that they were in there. And then we saw them leave, who I later found out was the husband and wife, who I recognized, the mom. And they let him out in handcuffs and put him in a car and drove him away. And then we also saw him taking keys and trying them on different cars in the parking lot and around there that they hadn't. They didn't know whose car was what, and they were, and I don't know, and they were searching for. And they also set up a little like a nightstand outside the front door, and, you know, where we could see in plain sight. And one of the agents was looking through paper documents. And that was as much. And that by that time it was I want to say it was 8 o'clock or something. And more neighbors started to come out. You know, we'd all been scared. Many of the neighbors, as I talked to them later, were laying on the floor of their living room. I mean, it was like. It was like that. Like, you didn't know what was going on. And everybody was pretty frightened and pretty shook up. And the woman and the man who they had taken away could not have been more cooperative. And the mom, I heard her talking to him in English, and just, you know, she speaks perfect English, and she said, yes, where would you like me to go? Yes, I've spoken to my daughter. She knows who to call. Yes, you want me to sit in? Okay, fine. You know, there was, like, absolutely no, you know, struggle or anything like that. Completely cooperative the entire time that I saw him. So that's pretty much what I observed. Mm-hmm.
Here now is Santa Cruz City Council member Chris Crone discussing the February 15th, 2019 Homeland Security raid in the Seabright neighborhood of Santa Cruz, California.
I was contacted by some neighbors after the raid. It was reported to me by the police chief, said that you might get some questions today about a raid that took place on Windsor Street. Around 4:30 in the morning on February 15th. From what I've heard from several neighbors and from people in the city as well, 12 vehicles and 20 men descended upon a residence in Seabright neighborhood. And they drove unmarked cars. A couple of the people wore vests or jackets that said police HSI on the back. So you couldn't tell if they were local police. People called 911, of course, and they were told that no, the police are not conducting any sort of operation at that time. They actually blocked off the streets, Cayuga and Windsor. They brought an MRAP, a military vehicle, military surplus vehicle, I guess, to Santa Cruz and to that neighborhood. They battered the door down instead of knocking. They exploded up to five, I believe, concussion grenades, or you know, they call them flashbang grenades. They exploded one outside, which our police chief had said is kind of unusual. And it was also, they had a night warrant, which is also unusual if you're not dealing with someone you suspect of murder, as I understand. So they knocked down the door, they took out all their stuff, They put it out in the lawn on a table and went through all of their papers and documents, and they forced them to give them the keys to their cars. They went through their cars. It was a family, a middle-aged family. They had two kids at home. One was 23-year-old son and the other was a 10-year-old girl. It was all dark in the house. They actually cut the electricity to the house, as I understood, too. So there was no light. The only light was coming from the guns that the agents had. Later, we found out it was Homeland Security Investigations. And it's, if you even Google that, you can see that ICE falls within Homeland Security. When a case will go to ICE and then Homeland Security Investigations may or may not be the enforcers on a certain case. So they were told that, or we were told, the police department was told that this was not ICE related or immigration related. And, but our chief, to his credit, said they could not use our interrogation rooms or any buildings owned by the city. So, excuse me, evidently they went to the sheriff and the sheriff let them interrogate two suspects. They were never arrested. They were detained, husband and wife. The kids were left at home. They were all like taken out of the house in their, you know, basically underwear and were hovering, you know, or in the parking lot for 45 minutes, according to one person. Neighbors were all like woken up and, you know, came over to the house and were asking what was going on, but the police still didn't identify themselves and neighbors did not know who this was. They didn't know if it was outside gangs or what was going on. And it was very scary for most people.
What are your main concerns about the raid? Oh, and what's the ostensible crime or what were they looking for? What connections were they trying to make by coming there?
It seems like they were looking for any documentation that helped a suspect flee who was allegedly accused of killing a police officer in Newman, which is in Stanislaus County, Newman, California. So they were following up on this.
And next you'll hear from Santa Cruz City Council member Drew Glover.
Well, a 4 a.m. no-knock raid on a community neighborhood with a well-established family in Santa Cruz, that in itself is pretty terrible. Putting black bags over heads and moving people into undisclosed locations, that's pretty bad. Pointing guns at the heads of little children, I think that's pretty bad. The not receiving food or water for multiple hours while being detained in an unknown location by a force of people that came into your home in the middle of the night with flashbang grenades and face masks. The process of them serving the warrant or not serving the warrant until after people have been detained and left the building. So all of that, those are my primary concerns. The fact that the sheriff would participate in it. I heard a presentation that he gave at the People's Democratic Club kind of explaining what happened, and I think something around there being confusion or misunderstanding about what their main purpose was, and then when they found out it was too late or something like that. But yeah, so all of that, the fact that Santa Cruz is still a threat or still threatened by the reality of Homeland Security and ICE, and you know, the police officer from Santa Cruz being present was to observe to make sure nothing crazy went down that the police would have to intervene in, maybe with ICE. I think it was a plainclothes police officer, to my understanding. So, because if it was like a police car with a police officer in garb, then it would be like, okay, well, Santa Cruz is stopping our escape from over there. But as just an observer, that's okay.
Next, you'll hear a brief interview with Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills regarding the Homeland Security raid 1 year ago on February 15th, 2019, that shook a neighborhood in Santa Cruz, California. I know that neighbors from that area met with you after the raid on February 15th. What were the main concerns that people had, and what are your main concerns about that raid?
Well, the neighbors' main concerns were the police involved in that raid? What did we know? When did we know them? The information, and what can they do to pre prevent ICE from coming into this city and conducting immigration enforcement, you know, among other things.
And what did you have to tell them about that? For example, what was the participation that Santa Cruz police had, and what was the level of participation that Santa Cruz sheriff had in that raid?
Well, you have to speak to the sheriff about their involvement, but we had no involvement in the raid. They called us 2 days ahead of time, asked for our support in terms of when we need to use our facilities to park the MRAP and to interview detainees. And my staff came to me with that information and asked me about that. And I said, I need more information. What's the case about? What's related to? We had no idea at that point. I told them, once we got the information, that we would not collaborate with ICE on this raid or any enforcement activities related to it. I know we support them in terms of traffic control as a part of this raid. What we did do is we sent one sergeant in plain clothes who stood two blocks away in case any civilians, residents, or agents were under coordinate emergency medical services to get people to the proper hospitals and so forth. So that's what the request was. We did not do it. Then that one medical coordination piece to protect our citizenry.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there was a Santa Cruz police officer who was somewhere nearby, did you say two blocks away, and they were there just in case there were medical needs?
That is correct. We had one police detective sergeant two blocks away in case there was any medical needs from the community or the agents so that we could coordinate medical services.
Would you encapsulate why you decided not to participate in this enforcement raid?
In my opinion, I have some information what the raid was, the purpose of the raid. I did not feel that it rose to the level of what Santa Cruz police officers should be involved in per our city policy and our status as a sanctuary city. And then on top of it, I disagreed with the tactics that they appeared to be ready to use, and that was not something that we would be part of.
So what I understand from people that were there is that they had a mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicle, and also they use flashbang grenades inside and outside the house. What are your feelings about the use of those tools?
Well, that's exactly the reason that we did not participate, because I felt that those tactics were not proportionate to what was taking place at that location from what we do. And I have to put that big caveat in there as to what we knew. We don't have all the information that they have as part of their investigation. We have not read or seen the search warrants. We have not read the affidavits that were sought by the from the federal courts. So we know nothing about the context of the investigation itself. And so again, based on what we knew at the time, I did not feel that was appropriate. Mm-hmm. They did have night service authorization on that warrant, and that's why they were able to serve it at 4:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty unusual.
And now, what's your understanding of what the alleged crimes that had been connected to those people on Windsor Avenue? What were they allegedly involved with that led to this raid happening?
Well, you'd have to speak with Homeland Security investigations to find out what crimes they were alleged to have taken part of, but it did not. You know, we originally told that it was related to the murder of the police officer in Newman, California. But I wasn't convinced that these people were participants in the murder of that police officer. And whether they did something after the fact, I do not know. But our officers had been to that location before, and we did not encounter resistance or something that would make us believe that we needed to at the level of using an MRAP or a night service authorized warrant.
Some of the witnesses to the raid said that for the first hour when they were outside trying to find out what was happening, the agents wouldn't identify themselves. They wouldn't identify what they were doing or what agency they were from. People were concerned about that and confused. Do you have concerns about that? And similarly, they were wearing uniforms that said the word police. And for some years, there's been kind of widespread discussion about federal agents wearing uniforms that say police, because it implies to the average person that they are the local police department. What do you have concerns about both of these things? First, they didn't identify themselves really what they were doing in the neighborhood, and wearing the word police on their uniforms.
Yeah, so as you pointed out, this is a controversy both in the community and in the profession. Our policy, and for good reason, is that if a citizen asks you to identify yourself, you give them your badge number and your name. That way, if somebody wants to file a complaint against that officer for any reason, they know who they're speaking of. Now, there are other ways that we can track that down, but and secondly, it's just a common courtesy. If somebody asks your name, you should tell them what your name is. So that is our policy. That may not be the policy for Homeland Security. I don't know what their policies are. That they are not a police agency. They are a law enforcement agency. And while there's a subtle difference, it's an important difference. And because we are held accountable by our community. We answer to a local elected officials who help us set our policies, who pay for police oversight. And that's why we use the word police. I was part of California Police Chiefs Association, or still am, but we had a conversation with Homeland Security as an organization, telling them that we disagreed with them using the word police on their raid jackets. When FBI or DEA comes and serves a warrant, they have words FBI or DEA. And for them to use police as the larger word and then ICE in small letters under it, people just see police. And we work really hard at building trust with our community. We work really hard at making sure that we're talking with people and being inclusive and reflecting the values of this community. And for them to co-opt that and leverage that relationship for their means, I think is inappropriate. And we expressed that to the Special Agent Church, Homeland Security, at a Cal Chiefs meeting. And we were told that that's just the way it is, and that's not going to change. Of course, as you can imagine, that went over pretty well with, 40 or 50 chiefs of police.
It makes sense to me, your choice not to participate in the raid, and personally, I appreciate you doing that, especially knowing that they're going to bring an MRAP into Santa Cruz when it was quite a controversial move for Santa Cruz police to get even a lesser intense armored personnel carrier. And now there's an MRAP that's been on the streets of Santa Cruz. City council people and citizens have raised this interesting point that Santa Cruz police are here for our safety and to protect us against, people who are taking things or harming other people. In this situation, these agents came in and used these tools, and a lot of people were frightened and still not sure what happened. I don't know if you have ideas about how Santa Cruz police can protect people of Santa Cruz from these raids by federal agents.
Well, I don't think, you have a choice. We could certainly say to the federal government that we're not going to participate with you in any way, shape, or form, and that we're going to obstruct you in a variety of ways. I personally don't think that that's an option. I want to know when ICE comes, or DEA, FBI, ATF, all these different agencies, because I don't want to see a situation where we have police officers responding to a shots fired call, like at that, where that very well could have been, or people calling in or hearing explosions, and we roll up on the scene with, four or five officers, and now you've got a situation where you've got 20 armed agents in plain clothes, and we knew nothing about it. In addition, these federal agencies have a much greater reach than we do in many areas. So, for instance, if there is a terror threat to the university or to the boardwalk, I want to know about it. I'm not going to be able to, reach overseas and see what's happening with ISIS or white nationalist extremism. That they have that reach. We don't have that personnel. We don't have the sophistication to be able to do that. So we can't do extended human trafficking operations. So we have to rely on our federal agencies to help us with that kind of information. And so I think that relationship is important. It really depends on the context of the relationship and how do you control what happens so that it doesn't backfire on you. Mm-hmm. And I also recognize that I'm not going to interfere with the federal investigation. There might be a good reason for that investigation that I'm not aware of. But that's why we elect people who go to Congress. That's why we, elect, for better or worse, a president who has that ability to control those agencies. And we're going to have to rely upon them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly a different atmosphere now with the current president in regards to immigration and law enforcement.
You're listening to KZSC 88.1 FM, KZSC.org. Next, you'll hear from Santa Cruz County Supervisor John Leopold, who brings up the Department of Homeland Security ICE raids that shook Santa Cruz 2 years earlier in 2017.
Regarding the raid that happened by Department of Homeland Security in Santa Cruz in February 2019, they came with an MRAP vehicle, mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicle, and use flashbang grenades. And neighbors have raised a lot of concerns about what happened and just the overall strategy for going to question people who weren't even really directly suspected of serious crimes. apparently the police chief of Santa Cruz decided not to cooperate with Department of Homeland Security except for having an officer on the periphery of the raid area just in case emergency services were needed. The Santa Cruz County Sheriff, Jim Hart, did participate, and later when he spoke to folks at a People's Democratic Club meeting, he said that he had been lied to by Department of Homeland Security and didn't understand the full plan, and that he decided he will never cooperate with Department of Homeland Security again. So specifically, I'd like to hear from you about your concerns about that raid and your feeling about Sheriff Jim Hart saying he won't cooperate anymore with Department of Homeland Security.
Well, you know, you bring up the February 2019 raid, but we're still feeling the effects of the February 2017 raid in Live Oak. You know, the Santa Cruz PD worked with Homeland Security to do a raid in February 2017 that half of it was in the city of Santa Cruz, but half of it was in Live Oak. They did not inform the sheriff at that time that residents all over Live Oak woke up to flash grenades, helicopters, armored vehicles. It was terrifying, and not only for the people who were there, but for the surrounding community. I was on the phone with Jim 7:30 that day. He was angry. We organized a community meeting almost immediately. He showed up, not in uniform, to talk about how he didn't know what was going on, how he valued the relationship with the community. He actually turned back money that he had from the Homeland Security for some work on the North Coast because he figured it wasn't something he wanted to be involved in. And when I asked him about this February 19 raid and some of the things I had seen in the paper, he said he was told that they were doing an operation that was different than what actually happened. He was pretty upset by it. Jim's been someone who stood up to ICE, and he was maybe the only sheriff in California to back SB 54, which was the sanctuary state legislation. Took a lot of grief from his colleagues. When I've done work in Live Oak with communities of color and Latinx communities, Jim has been there and has stood with folks and provided resources to help out. And so I think we're very fortunate to have Jim Hart as our sheriff. I think he does a very good job. He's serious about these issues. And if he said that they misrepresented it, I believe it, because when I talked with him that morning, February 17th, I'd never seen him so angry. He was the idea that they would come and do raids in Live Oak and not even inform the sheriff was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're still feeling the effects of that raid. I mean, there was what we have seen since that February 17 raid is that people who are eligible for benefits have turned them down because they're worried about attracting the attention of the federal government. And it's a terrible thing that people who could access food resources or other assistance don't take it because they're scared by what they see on TV and what they saw in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very dramatic, and those raids in 2017 were all over the county and affected a lot of people, and people were quite upset and didn't want that to happen again.
Yeah, well, and Live Oak Elementary, there's a project with the UCSD professor, Gina Langhow, who worked with fourth and fifth graders. She's been doing it for a number of years, and they wanted to focus on this issue of, are they going to lose their friends because they disappear in the middle of the night because of raids like this? And that was a year after the raids had taken place. So, there, you know, the trauma that happens when being
That was Santa Cruz County Supervisor John Leopold discussing the Homeland Security raids that happened in Santa Cruz in 2019, 1 year ago, and also in 2017, when the Santa Cruz police chief at that time, Kevin Fogel, insisted he'd been duped by the Department of Homeland Security, who not only made arrests related to gang violence in Santa Cruz, but made 10 local arrests related to immigration status. What Chief Fogel didn't mention at press conferences following the 2017 DHS raids in Santa Cruz was that Santa Cruz police had been hosting a special agent from the Department of Homeland Security since 2009, for 8 years. Chief Fogel divulged this detail only after half a dozen citizen activists asked about it at a city council meeting in 2017. Here's a clip from that March 2017 city council meeting with Chief of Police Kevin Fogel and city council member Chris Krohn asking Fogel why he'd never mentioned the DHS agent before.
So, yeah, that is in fact true. We've provided office space for a special agent with the Department of Homeland Security investigations since I believe it was 2009, following the death of Tyler Tenorio. After Tyler was stabbed to death down on Laurel Street, and we were able to determine who the suspects in that case were, we soon received information following that case that two of our suspects had fled to Mexico. And so we solicited the help of Homeland Security Investigations. This was the fall of 2009. We provided office space to Homeland Security Investigations, just like we do to the county probation office, just like we do to the state of California parole office. Since 2009, we have had a Homeland Security special agent that's spent his time back and forth between the office in San Jose, as well as our office in Santa Cruz. But again, I want to be very clear. He works for the branch of Homeland Security that deals with the criminal aspect of things. He doesn't enforce immigration law.
Thank you. Just one more question for the chief. I feel like police have been forthright and trying to be forthright with the public. Why wasn't this embedded ICE person ever mentioned before now, and we had to find out through the supervisor?
He, as I mentioned, he's been there since 2009. He's never enforced immigration law. The resolution that was passed back on January 10th was specific to immigration and not to criminal investigations. The issue's never come up before. He's been involved in this case that we've been working with the MS-13 gang for the last 6 years. We haven't made that investigation public for a number of reasons. And so therefore, I had just never come forward and disclosed the fact that he was there.
Santa Cruz, California is designated a sanctuary city that protects the rights of all people, documented and undocumented. While the local police and sheriff have participated in Department of Homeland Security raids locally and provided office space and interrogation rooms for Department of Homeland Security agents, local citizens, activists, and politicians are ready to support and uphold Santa Cruz's sanctuary city status. Here's City Council member Chris Krohn.
And how does Santa Cruz protect itself against these outside forces? I mean, these are federal officials, but they become, you know, negative forces for Santa Cruz. And we need to protect people, and we are a sanctuary city. And we need to talk about what does being a sanctuary city mean? I know this council is going to budget some money for lawyers, for, you know, immigration attorneys. We're going to delve into our city budget and find that money. And that, for me, is a partially what it means to be a sanctuary city, to protect people legally, but also physically. And obviously, in this case, people were abused physically if they really did not have anything to do with the horrific crime that happened in Newman where a police officer was killed.
Here again is Santa Cruz City Council member Drew Glover.
I mean, it's time now, in my personal opinion, that we need to transition over into direct action. And I don't know because of the, you know, that's the activist in me talking, right? But, you know, I can speak personally as myself, as an elected official, as a resident of the community, that if I were to witness someone being attempting to be detained or questioned or whatever, I would go and physically intervene. So whether it be knowing your rights and being able to ensure that the person who is being interrogated on the street or whatever knows their rights. And then, you know, the question is, I don't think our police department can intervene in ICE raids because of the whole federal, state, law enforcement, peace officer, all those rules. But I think the city should be developing a much more comprehensive way of identifying, protecting, and reducing the influence or appearance of ICE.
YARR, Y-A-R-R, stands for Your Allied Rapid Response. This local group of volunteers is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to respond to situations in Santa Cruz where, quote, any of our community are under attack, whether by federal policies or hate groups, unquote. Members from YARR arrived at the Department of Homeland Security raid on February 15, 2019, 1 year ago, within 10 minutes. The hotline for YARR is 831-239-4289. Online, it's yarr-sc.org. Here's Dave Wilson of YARR, Your Allied Rapid Response.
The idea is that if people see ICE in town, if they see police brutality happening, if they see something that feels like it could use community support, whatever that is and whoever it's targeting, they can call, and we have trained legal observers and de-escalators who can show up and offer support. And so in Santa Cruz County, by far, the community that's most been on the front line has been our Latino immigrant community. And so that's primarily who we've been supporting. So on February 15th, there was a Department of Homeland Security crew that showed up, and they blocked off the streets at 4:30 a.m., and they read out a warrant over the loudspeaker. Of course, it was a Department of Homeland Security warrant, which isn't an actual warrant signed by a judge. It's just a note that they wrote for themselves. And they ended up kicking down the door using flashbang grenades. And eventually somebody called our rapid response line, and we had people out there within 5 or 10 minutes to support, to document, and to kind of try to hold the law enforcement people accountable.
Here again is Ray Mendoza, who lives with his family near the home in Santa Cruz, California, that was raided by Department of Homeland Security agents 1 year ago on February 15th, 2019. He describes how he took a Quaker witness approach to observing the raid while it unfolded and questioning the agents involved.
And so I thought, if this is not on the up and up for some reason, I'm a witness. We'll be witnesses to see, you know, if that's... But then at least I don't think it hurts anybody to have citizens watching as agents, law enforcement does their job. Mm-hmm. As long as we're not influencing it in any negative way, and we're not, so... Mm-hmm. I think the neighbors here are owed an explanation as to why this... approach was taken for what is basically a search warrant for, as I understand it, and this was a term that I heard, but I don't know, a paper crime. This is a paper crime, and then why do you knock down a door at 4 a.m. for a paper crime? Like, so a more what we think is that a more reasonable approach is hello, can we come in? We have a warrant. Another approach could be going to work in the morning and they get pulled over for a traffic stop and say, we need to detain you, you know, and then that's done. You know, another approach which makes sense is call them up. Can you come down to the police station? We'd like to talk to you. You know, there's like so many approaches. And I heard this, but I'm not sure if this is true or not, that the house was surveilled before the raid was taken. And a casual surveillance of that house would have revealed that there are people there just going to work, coming home. There's kids, there's a little girl in the house. Like, it's just people. Like, it's just average people doing average things. There's nobody walking in and out with weapons. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You would have seen that it's just a house, and that's it.
Ice, water frozen solid. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. ICE, El Hielo.
Eva pasando el trapo sobre la mesa y está cuidando que todo brille como una perla. Cuando llegue la patrona, que no se vuelva a quejar. No sea cosa que la acuse de ilegal.